everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. If anyone else comes in late, that's okay. They can join us. But let's go ahead and bow before the Lord and thank Him for a great time that we've had to study His Word and get to know Him more. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You and praise You, Lord, for these weeks that we've had to dive into Your Word and dig into this book that just has summarized some of these topics, Lord, into categories that we can try and understand and compartmentalize. But Lord, as we have prayed before, help this not just to be head knowledge for us. Help all of this information not just be facts about You, but may it be something that has stirred our hearts, Lord, to know You more in a more personal way. And Lord, we thank You for the message this morning at church, just reminding us to continue to add to our faith and to grow in the faith. And so, Lord, we pray for You to continue to have Your work in each of us. And as we wrap up this basic theology class, Lord, I pray that each of us would have the desire to continue to study the Word, continue to sit at Your feet and ask You to reveal Yourself to us in a deeper way, so that this process that we've been going through would never end, Lord, that we would continue to grow even closer to You. So thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness. We ask tonight that You continue to just open our eyes and understanding to know You on a deeper level. And we just worship You and praise You. Thank You for who You are. And thank You that You desire for us to know You, Lord. We give You this time together now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, it's the last evening. We're just going to basically kind of fill in the blanks tonight. Through the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to highlight a few things until we get down to the fill-ins. We did put it online, so at the end I'll go ahead and put the link on there. So if you don't want to write things down, you can wait, print it off, and write them down. Or you can write them down as we go, and they'll be there. But I'm just going to highlight a few of the things in the book that's straight in the book. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. How is the Holy Spirit referred to in the Bible? The work of the Holy Spirit, His relationship to the world, and His relationship to the believer. And most of these things Pastor Burt covered last week pretty thoroughly and out of the book. I'm just going to highlight a few of these things. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? And as mentioned there, it says the scriptures indicate that the Holy Spirit is not an influence or power in essence or by nature. Scriptures ascribe gender to the Holy Spirit. In other words, personal. Personal pronoun, He is used and not it. And it shares that in John 14, 15, and 16. And the scriptures ascribe personality. Page 61. Sorry.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Actually, we're gonna quickly go over to page 62. We're just going to buzz through this. The Holy Spirit is God. And just reading the key points here, scriptural evidence supports it. And there's a lot of scriptures in here that support all these things. The Holy Spirit has the attributes of God. Scriptures related to His omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and that He's eternal, that the Holy Spirit's eternal. And then the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity. Scripture's there to back it up. Holy Spirit is called Lord. Our Lord, Father is called Lord, Son is called Lord, Holy Spirit's called Lord, and plenty of scriptures there to back that up. And The Holy Spirit is a distinct person from the Father and Son. At incarnation, Christ's baptism, the Great Commission, his sending from heaven, and in Paul's writings. And again, the scripture is there to back that up. The Holy Spirit participates in the works of God, in the work of God, through creation, indwelling, the resurrection of Christ, and the glory. And actually, I'm way behind on this PowerPoint thing. Number three, how is the Holy Spirit referred to in the Bible? The names, and there's a whole list of names there. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord God, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of Grace, and so on, with the scripture to back up each one of those. And then also by symbols, the breath or the wind, the dove, oil, and fire, living waters, and the earnest. And as you're browsing through your syllabus and you have time, look up those scriptures that back that up. The work of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to spend most of our time towards the second part of this, but his relationship to the world there, in creation and preservation, affairs of non-believers, relationship to the scriptures, and then his relationship to the believer through the work of salvation, continuing work of the Spirit and the believer, fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it kind of elaborates on that, what the purpose of the gifts are and how they're to be used for service and edification and so on. And again, scripture's there to back all of those things up. And this is where we're going to kind of spend the majority of it. This is where the fill-ins are. It says, in the church today, there exists two major views concerning the doctrine of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Many that teach salvation and baptism with the Holy Spirit are one and the same. There's many, on the other hand, who teach these are separate experiences in the Christian's life. And that's the approach that we have here. And we're going to share some of those things right now. So there's a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Number one, it says, read Matthew 3:11. We're not going to read a ton of scriptures tonight, but if somebody, Jeff, would want to read, I already prompted him. He's ready to go. If you could read Matthew 3:11, there.
Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
So who is he speaking of here? John the Baptist. All right. And what does he say about himself? It says that he baptizes with water. What does he say about Christ? What was that? I heard somebody. That's right. It's not trick questions here. According to Acts 1, verses 4 to 8, what were the disciples to wait for in Jerusalem? Specifically mentioned in verse 5. Anybody want to read Acts 1, 4 to 8? I know Jeff will if nobody else wants to. I'm not going to call on anybody, but if anybody wants to. Emmanuel.
and being assembled together with them, he committed them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.
Thank you. So what's the answer there? The Holy Spirit. That's right. And this is just reinforcing what we already know. I know it seems kind of repetitive when the answer is the same thing. It's either Jesus or the Holy Spirit. But it just reminds us as we're reading through the scriptures here. Says there's a baptism with the Holy Spirit. Read Acts 10:44-48. I'll go ahead and read that quickly. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So what happened here? The Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. How amazing is our God? Then they got baptized. Yeah. Yep.
As a declaration of what was happening.
Yeah. So they got saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit, which it was at this there in that particular instance was basically at the same time. And then they got baptized with the water. In Acts 11:14-18, Peter's telling the story of what happened in Acts 10. And what does he call it in 11:16? Does anybody want to read Acts 11:14-18? Jeff?
Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved? And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.
Amen. To believe.
Yes. So then after Christ died, then now to believe, and when they believe, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and then they choose to do water baptism as a declaration.
The water baptism is merely just a declaration of what's already transpired inside. All right, where am I at here? It's important to see that the scriptures indicate the purpose of the Holy indicate the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. Many try to teach it's for the purpose of receiving gifts, especially tongues, but it's not scriptural. The clearest and most concise verse in the Bible concerning the purpose of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is found in Acts 1:8. Does somebody want to read Acts 1:8? That name doesn't begin with a Jeff. Anybody? Acts 1:8? Wait a minute. Yeah. Acts 1:8. Yeah. Wait, am I at the right spot here? No, I jumped ahead. Sorry. Save that. Whoever picked 1:8, save that for after. I read the wrong portion of it, so let me skip down and then we'll go back up. Sorry about that, guys. We will. Okay. I'm down here. I'm sorry. I'll circle back. All right. Who wants to read Acts 1:8? And then right after this one, we'll circle back. No? Maybe your dad will.
Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I'm sorry, that was mine. Then you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and in the earth.
Yeah, you shall be witnesses. You're empowered to be a witness there. And Lord knows we need that empowering. I'm gonna circle back to the previous one and then pick it back up. It says Jesus is a baptizer with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to kind of go down in the paragraph. The Father sent the Son. The Son died on the cross. This is A on page 167. The Father sent the Son, and the Son died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit indwells the person. Indwells the person. Who does John 1:33 to 34, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and Matthew 3:11? We're not going to read all those. I'm going to read Mark 1:8 because it's one of the ones with only one verse. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So again, that's speaking of Jesus. Most of the answers are either Jesus or the Holy Spirit, so can't go wrong. That was the one nice thing when I went to Israel, is most of the time the answer was either water or Jesus. They did a lot of things in the land for water, but as believers, we got to see a lot of where Jesus walked and whatnot. Jesus is a baptizer with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Acts 2, verses 32 and 33 says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." Sorry. "He poured out this, which you now see and hear." And again, the one speaking of there is, again, Jesus. I'm just going to cut to the chase on the next one. According to Luke 24:49, who will send forth the promise of the Holy Spirit? Jesus. We already went through A as I skipped ahead before. So we're going to read B. Read Luke 24, verses 44 to 49. We're only going to read verse 49. So if somebody wants to turn there, Luke 24, 49. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming mentioned, especially in verse 49? Yeah, endued with power. What's associated with in verse 48? So if we look back, it says, and you are witnesses of these things. To be a witness. Again, at the end tonight, we're going to put the link up there. And so if you miss something here, no worries. Click on the link and the whole guide is on there with answers. So all right. See, it says, what does Peter say in Acts 2:16 to 21 would be the result of those having the Spirit poured out upon? And we actually still have quite a few of these. So I know Pastor Bert has some. He got a bunch of dessert. So I'm gonna just put up some of the answers here. You can jot them down. The scriptures in your syllabus, and then you can grab these next time. But the supernatural gifts. The supernatural gifts. And the four prepositions used in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and the believer. There's some fill-ins here, and I'm gonna go ahead and read John 14, as you're jotting those things down, verses 6, 7 to 11. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? That I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Holy Spirit's trying to show people who've not accepted Christ that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior. And in verses 16 and 17, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you and will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And the two prepositions that are used here are with and in. Before one is saved, the Holy Spirit is with the person, convicting them of their need for Christ. And I think we can all relate to that, right? That conviction sometimes is overwhelming. The next relationship centers around the preposition according to Romans 8:9. Where does the Spirit dwell? Anybody want to read Romans 8:9? Mr. Glavinick.
Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ.
Dwells in us. Amazing. It's kind of overwhelming when you think about it. And the next relationship relates to the word upon, which is the same as the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit come in Acts 1:8? And we read that just a little bit ago, where it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Upon us. Luke 24:49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Again, upon us. And then, we're not going to read it, but Acts 19:1-7, and especially verse 6 there, is also the upon. And then, D, Ephesians 5:18, if somebody wants to turn there, I'll start reading this. The next relationship is the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is an experience the believer needs on a daily basis. And what does it say in Ephesians 5:18 to exhort us to be? Go ahead, Jeff.
Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
And that be filled there is that continually being filled. It's not just be filled once, but it's the continuing of that being filled. It literally means being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing and continuing in that. And then it talks about what happens to the apostles in Acts 4. And we're not going to read that right now, but they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. The next relationship is the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is an experience the believer needs on a daily basis. I know when I get up out of bed, I know I need to get, my wife reminds me I need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, I think. But it's a continual thing. I need to be continually filled up. And it says in Ephesians 5:18, if somebody's already there, then I don't need to turn there, but if not.
Did I just read that?
Oh, yeah. Just, I have everything all over, yeah.
I can get my place back.
No, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Continually. I went back. What's the type of baptism that's mentioned in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20? Anybody want to read it? I'll read it. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That water baptism. And Matthew 3:11, speaking baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so basically trying to show that there's at least two different types of baptisms found in Scripture, right? There's the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and there's water baptism. Says, who does Matthew 3:11 say will baptize with the Holy Spirit? Yep. And who does 1 Corinthians 12:13 say is? It's hard without reading all of the scriptures and just assuming that they've been read, but 1 Corinthians 12:13. 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit." John 14:16 and 17. And we're only going to read a few more scriptures and close it out. But what did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit and the apostles in those verses? Anybody want to read those ones? John 14:16 and 17. Yep. Samuel.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Thank you. He was with them and would be in them. What did Jesus give them when he breathed on them? He gave them the Holy Spirit. And it's comforting to know that we have a helper. Need a helper to get me through the day. Cast our cares on him. And then what he told them to do in Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:4 was to wait for the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:5, it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And again, baptized with the Holy Spirit. The two responses of the people according to Acts 8:6. And verse 12. It says, "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." And then in verse 12 it says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." heeded the word and believed. So were these believers or unbelievers? They were believers, yeah. And the apostles, right after that, the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And so it was that they had believed, and then they received the Holy Spirit after, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And now, our last point here. Another place in the Word where the sequence is found is in Acts 19:1-7. Somebody want to read Acts 19:1-7 as we close this out? You get extra credit. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. So it says in verse 5, what did Paul do to the people there in verse 5? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized with water. And so were they believers or unbelievers? Yeah, again, they were believers. And then in verse 6 it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So the hands were laid on them. And it says, notice the preposition in verse 6 of where the Holy Spirit came, which is upon. And it says here, the baptism with the Holy Spirit is clearly an experience after salvation for the believer to have the Holy Spirit come upon him to receive power to be a witness. And then they reference in some cases Acts 10:44-48. It can occur at the same time as salvation. But regardless of the timing of this experience, the result should be receiving the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And that's our prayer for each one of us, is that as the Lord empowers us through His Spirit, that we can be that witness. Because we know that there's nothing in us that's good. Not one thing. And yet, He is good. And His Holy Spirit that's come upon us, that's filled us, we can reflect His goodness in spite of our beings, right? So I think we're pretty much done. There's the answers. You can also go to our website. Jeff, do we still have that basic theology part on there that you can click on? Probably not, just...
I don't think so. You'll have to type that in.
Yeah.
If anyone needs help getting to the answers, we'll send it to you.
Yeah. Beachside.com/basic theology, all lowercase, one big long word, and everything's there. So hopefully that helps you as you're going through. But thank you guys so much. It's been a blessing. It's been 7 weeks of being able to hang out with everybody and be built up in our faith.
All right. Well, congratulations on making it through.